Chapel Service, Tuesday, February 23rd. Speaker, Delaine Riles, Division of Church Extension, Metropolitan New York Baptist Association.
We have come to worship. Please stand and turn to responsive reading number 13 in the back of your hymnal, Acceptable Worship. Let us read responsively. Number 13. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place?
He that hath clean hands and pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul in vanity, or sworn secretly.
He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Who is this King of glory?
The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory?
The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory.
But the hour cometh, and now it is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such.
God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Let us sing hymn number 129, O for a Thousand Tongues. Let us pray. Our Father, for the beauty of thy creation and the beauty of this day, we give thee praise. For this time of withdrawal, for quiet and reflection and devotion, when we hear the word and listen to words, we give thee thanks. May thy Spirit be with us to interpret to us the truth and the way, and may thy Spirit be with us to inspire us to be on the way. Let us not only hear thy word, O Father, but to hear the words of the world, that the two may meet and we may be Christian in the way. We place before thee our needs and the needs of our neighbors, our joys and our laughter, our sorrows and our sufferings. And in this place, as we listen and as we pray, may we hear your word personally in our lives. Through the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen. Today is a day when we have visitors on our campus from several states. We have directors of missions from Florida and New York and Nebraska and North Carolina. We have the Home Mission Board people here with us interviewing students for summer missions. And we're glad that they're here. One will speak to us this morning, Dr. Delaine Riles. Delaine has been involved with several students over generations in our school. He has assisted us on campus in our Urban Studies Seminar through the years. He assists us in New York City on a workshop in Urban Studies. He has assisted us for numerous summers and will this summer in our Summer Missions Practicum in the city of New York and New Jersey. Delane is no stranger then to this campus. He's a part of the school. He went to Oklahoma Baptist University and Southwestern Seminary. He earned his doctor of ministry degree here among us several years ago. We're glad that he's here. Many of you have already met him. You'll want to meet not only him, but others who are here today. So Delane, we once again welcome you to our campus and to our community of faith. And after the choir sings, we will gladly hear you.
Good morning. I read from the first book of Kings, chapter 18, beginning with verse 41. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat, and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he bowed himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again seven times." And at the seventh time, he said, "Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising out of the sea." And he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you." And in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Amen. Let me tell you a simple story about beginnings. Once upon a time, when the world was about 29 centuries younger than it is today, the earth was dry. You don't know what dry is until you've run for shelter from an Oklahoma sandstorm and covered your face with a wet cloth in order to be able to breathe. You don't know what dry is until you've seen New Jersey's lakes dry up and become so parched that we had to put a bucket in the bathtub when we took a 3-minute shower so we could flush the toilet with the water. It was that kind of drought, only worse. And the prophet of God went up to the top of the mountain to pray for rain. Elijah prayed for rain, believing that it would rain. "Go home, King Ahab. You don't want to get your chariot stuck in the mud, do you?" "Mud? What mud? There's been no mud in these parts for years." But the prophet hears the sounds of rushing waters. Maybe that poor, demented soul has taken leave of his senses. The earth is scorched. No, wait. "Send the trusted servant to the peak of the mountain. Let him look to the sea and report back to us what is on the horizon." Nothing. Nothing. Has it ever looked like that to you? Even when you prayed? Especially when you prayed? Take another look. "Take another look," the prophet calls out from his outrageous posture of prayer with his face down between his knees. "Look again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Now, what do you see?" Nothing. 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 Wait. What's that? It's just a wisp, a vapor. Maybe it's a mirage. No, it's a little cloud, no bigger than a man's hand, rising out of the sea. As Kagawa, the Japanese prophet of the ghetto, says, "What's in my hand is big, big, for God has a plan, and that plan is hid in my hand." Better run for cover, King Ahab, or you and all the forces of evil will ultimately get stuck in the mud when the wind of God's Spirit blows up a rainstorm. And God sends answers to prayers. And he works out his redemptive purpose from just such small beginnings as a cloud no bigger than a man's hand. Who would have thought of what God would do through a faithful prayer on a dusty mountaintop? Or who would have guessed that God would wrap up our hopes for forgiveness and peace and eternity in a refugee baby in a back alley of a backwater town? But he did. Who would have ever suspected God would take a bunch of losers and bring them into his family and entrust the world's good news to his church? But he did, and he does. And I've seen it happening. First, there's a germ of it, born in the heart of God. And he plants his love in human hearts and calls us to be his partners. Then he gathers us together. Cells begin to take shape. Maybe happening this summer, as 10 pairs of students go from this campus and are flung to some of the unlikeliest places in our land. Places like Buffalo, West Palm Beach, East Patchogue, Fort Lauderdale, Putnam County, Durham. Remember to pray for your brothers and sisters as they go. And pray believing. They will go and knock on 1,000 doors. They will strategize. They will gather children in parks and backyard Bible clubs. They'll meet their parents in shopping centers and invite them into someone's home for a cup of coffee and some word from the Lord. They will try and fail and try again. And pretty soon the people will rent a building, organize a Sunday school, set up folding chairs, and bring in some new Baptist hymnals. And people will worship God. A fellowship of believers will begin to take shape in some of these communities. First a cell, then a cluster. Finally, a congregation of sons and daughters committed to their Lord Jesus Christ, sharing his good news by word and deed, and teaching, and learning, and caring, and ministering, being sent and sharing. A church will be born by God's grace. These are beginnings, sometimes resembling a little cloud, no bigger than your hand. I sat where you sit, figuratively. And 20 years ago this month, I went to Metropolitan New York. And Southern Baptists were just getting started there. That fall, about 8 struggling little congregations formed Metropolitan New York Baptist Association. We met last fall, and about 98 congregations reported in, and about 47 chapels. And since then, we've formed a state convention, and churches have sprung up all across the upstate area. And we have a Baptist Convention of New York. But in perspective, it's a little cloud, no bigger than a man's hand. But these are beginnings. In the beginning, God. And in our beginning, we seem to look at beginnings as little things, hardly noticeable at first, cells that divide and multiply. Or as Jesus points out, it may be where two or three are gathered together. Beginnings. Beginnings that you pray for, but that sometimes slip in unawares. Sometimes even intruding when we didn't realize what we'd requested. And we didn't even recognize the answer when it came. Beginnings may even be despised, often to our later regret. Oh, nothing's going to come of that, or of him, or of her. It's only a child. Only. But what about my own beginnings? Ah, but that was long ago and far away. Memory fades, or selectively recalls, or romanticizes the difficulties into more or less than they really were. When I was your age, I was always... When we were kids, we never... Haven't we always been experienced and suave and confident and knowing and bright and able and spiritually mature and successful? But how could we ever have succeeded had there not been some lesser beginnings from which we have progressed so far? Every city was once a barren space until somehow it had its beginnings. Every church, no matter how grandiose and powerful or mediocre and forgettable or minuscule yet purposeful, every church, I say, one day emerged from its beginnings. And every day, you and I are accountable to God for what we do about our beginnings. Pray with me. O God, who has begun a good work in us, do work your continuings through us this day and evermore. In the beginnings, God. Amen.